Welcome to Pastor Matters, the podcast of the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We hope this conversation will both equip and encourage you to lead healthy churches that make disciples for the glory of God.
Hi, I'm Chuck Lawless.
And I'm Cale Iverson.
And we want to thank you for listening to another episode of Pastor Matters. Caleb, today I have one of my good friends. We have one of my good friends on the podcast today, Dr. Brian Autry. Dr. Autry is the executive director of the SBC of Virginia, the Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists. And he has been a long-term friend. He was my D-Min student at Southern Seminary a lot of years ago. He was my pastor, actually, when we served in Richmond. And he just recently finished his PhD with us here at Southeastern Seminary. So he's been a scholar and a practitioner for some time, and I'm excited to have him with us today.
Well, Dr. Autry, thank you for joining us. Just to kick off the episode, since Dr. Lawless shared, you guys seem to have some history together. I thought it might be fun for our listeners to hear if you guys had any funny moments or stories that you'd like to share on the podcast.
Yeah, oh my goodness! What, you know, Dr. Lawless, you may have something that you would want to share. I guess I would just ask you to protect the innocent and the guilty.
You know, I think probably I blocked everything that we might want to talk about here. I will say this, that we have walked through a lot together over the years. As you were, yes. When I first met you, you were church planting. I later on will become a member of your church when you became my pastor, and even as you wrestled with this call to lead the state convention, I can remember more than once praying about that with you, and it's kind of fun to see how the Lord has used you over the years.
Well, absolutely, and you know it is a privilege to have friends and to have friends over the years where you go through different situations, different seasons, different stages. You know, Caleb, I don't know if this isn't really like an embarrassing situation, but it's kind of a new situation, I think, for Dr. Lawless and myself. I know that not too long ago, he became the proud papa of a puppy. And and I know that was kind of a long time coming, or at least longest I'd known him. He had not had man's best friend there in the house with him. And I was always really known as a person who was not a dog lover. In fact, mm-hmm. as far as just kind of something that I always dealt with, I have bad allergies and all that stuff, right? So growing up, never had pets, never had dogs. Had a pet rock. That's about as close as I got to having a pet. And but just a little over a year ago, my oldest daughter, who's now married, her and her husband got one of these golden doodles, and of course. My whole life has been changed by this puppy. In fact, when friends come over to the house, they'll see the remnants and the evidences of us having a puppy in the house. They just can't get over it. Because even when I was pastoring and I would visit, I actually had a church member who went with me on my visitation team for outreach. And his main job was keep the dogs off of Pastor Brian. And now I count myself among all of those pet lovers out there. So that's kind of something new for me. And I've been able to kind of identify even further in my friendship with Dr. Lawless now that he is, you know, he's making such good memories with Max.
Yeah, I would tell Brian stories about Max, and then he would start talking to me about your grand dog, I guess. Is that
grand
your
dog? Yes.
Your grand dog.
Tons of pictures. My daughter sends daily updates.
And it became very clear very quickly that dog was winning him over, and his world was changing. And that's just what dogs do. What good dogs do anyway. All right. Well, Dr. Autry, we're talking about something a lot more serious today, and that's really, I'm going to talk with you about the topic of your PhD dissertation, and that is leading from weakness, which is an odd statement in many ways. So tell us how you landed on the concept of leading from weakness for your doctoral work.
It is not the subject that I would have anticipated that I would have studied and written on, Dr. Lawless. I think part of it, honestly, was just conversation that you and I began to have. And my memory serves that I actually mentioned to you something probably which is much more of a common thought, and that is kind of the idea of leading from your strengths. And I just noticed or overheard, you know, kind of watched you kind of muttered under your breath, you know, well, what does, how does that then jive with when Paul says, you know, when I'm weak, I'm strong. And I was just kind of like, well, what'd you say right there? And you repeated it to me. And I just kind of went back and just began to read and study on that throughout the scriptures, began to just try to kind of see, well, is there any thought out there on this idea of leading from weakness? And reflected even on some of my own experiences. Think back to when my wife and I were involved in planning a church and just my own wrestling with my own inadequacies, my own inabilities. I then think about how, man, in recent memory, even seeing and walking with churches and even my own life going through just as a person living in this world, going through COVID. And in that particular time in my life, I was reading in my daily Bible reading through the Bible, came across 2 Chronicles 20, the episode where Jehoshaphat admits and confesses that he is powerless. And that really grabbed me in the moment of that global crisis, as I was also talking with a lot of pastors who were wrestling with just this sense of we don't know what to do. And then it kind of prompted me to read the larger narrative of the scriptures and to really see how this is a theme that you do see throughout the pages of the Bible.
So tell us more. You mentioned Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Where else in your studies have you found that theme in the scriptures?
Well, I think probably most students of the Bible would commonly or most rapidly go to Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians 12:9, where he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses. I think in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where he gives us the metaphor of jars of clay. But when you read in the New Testament, one of the examples that really grabbed my attention in the New Testament was Peter. How Peter goes from really being this very self-reliant, I would even say at times overconfident leader in the Gospels. He's often mentioned first in the list of the disciples. He's mentioned more frequently. So he's a leader amongst that, amongst those original followers of Christ. But what we see then, of course, towards as he's walking with Jesus, then he goes through his denials. You really see him experience brokenness. And then in the book of Acts, he is empowered, filled with the Holy Spirit. He really becomes not a self-reliant, overconfident leader, but he really becomes a leader dependent upon the Lord, I think in a very dynamic way. And not a perfect leader, but a leader who very much is depending upon the Spirit of God and the leadership of the Lord in his life. And then I think that's even somewhat reflected in his epistles that he writes when he's older, in 1st and 2nd Peter, where you really get the sense there that he is a fellow elder, even though he is a leader in the church. We know that. But he articulates more of a humble shepherd attitude than I think is evidenced in the Gospels. And I think it's because he experienced this transformation going from trying to lead in his own strength to really leading from weakness, where he's really embracing his dependency and really develops some humility. And then really, Dr. Lawless, one thing that grabbed my attention was then when I went back just reading and surveying the Old Testament to really see it throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Of course, in particular, I think about Moses, where Moses confesses his inadequacies. He really wrestles with God's call. That is probably one of the most poignant examples because Moses is such a renowned leader of the Hebrew people and in the Old Testament. But to see him really wrestle with his own inadequacy, the excuses he gives, where he says, you know, my speech is inadequate, for instance. And the Lord reminds him that he will be with him, that he will provide the strength and lead him through that weakness.
You mentioned several stories, and there's no question that this theme runs throughout the scriptures. And yet we pick up leadership books, and they may talk to us about servant leadership and humility as leaders, both important concepts. You don't often read as much about leading from weakness. Why would you say that's the case?
Well, I think we naturally think of leaders as being strong, having charisma, if you will. I think it kind of goes back to a question often asked in leadership seminars: are leaders born, are they made? And we wrestle with the answers for that. But when you go back and you read history and read literature, it really is probably only in the past 100 years that there was much of a thought of any kind of other leadership theory, rather than just really the idea that there are certain people innately gifted, that there are leaders that just are somewhat born for such a time that they're pressed into. And biographies, of course, reflect that. We all have our heroes. In fact, the history of leadership really is a story of a lot of heroic folks that stepped into the pages of history. I have my own heroes as well. I don't think that as Christian leaders, we don't have folks that we look up to. I mean, we certainly do. But in the context of leading from weakness, we really are prompted to consider that the scripture gives us a paradox, if you will, this idea that there is strength in weakness. And it really is something that even when I mention it to other Christian leaders, they indeed may often pause. They may kind of go to servant leadership or even mention the virtue of humility. But this idea of leading from weakness, I think, really, really presses us into this concept that this is a paradox of scripture here. And it really is somewhat countercultural, even counterintuitive, if you will.
So unpack that for us. What do you mean by paradox?
Well, you know, in the Bible, there are different examples or different paradoxes, if you will. And paradox is defined as seemingly an absurd or self-contradictory statement or a proposition that when investigated or explained, actually, even though it seems a contradiction, it actually proves to be true. And there are examples of that in the Bible. You know, we lead or rule by serving. We become great by becoming small. We're exalted when we humble ourselves. We become wise by being fools for Christ's sake. We're made free by becoming bondservants. We live by dying. We gain strength when we're weak. So I think that's one of the statements that we can particularly apply to leadership, then, the idea that when we are weak, we can be strong. And that's because the Lord makes all the difference in that. And I think that's one of the reasons that this is a model for Christian leadership, because there ought to be something different. It ought to mean something when we say Christian leadership. It ought to begin with what Christ has done for us. And I think even the idea of strength and weakness, you see that in the very essence of the gospel of Christ.
Here at Southeastern, we believe that the Great Commission is the church's mission. That is why we are committed to ministry preparation in partnership with the local church. Through more than 40 advanced graduate and undergraduate degrees, we offer robust biblical and theological education that equips students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. Visit sebts.edu to learn more.
Tell us how this idea has changed the way you lead, Brian, if it has.
Well, I think it is something that I have, more than I realized, wrestled with probably for a long time, maybe even before I was even attempting to serve in any kind of leadership. I mean, for instance, I talk about our friendship, how long we've known each other. I don't know if I ever told you that when I was growing up, I really struggled with stuttering. I struggled with great trepidation, for instance, with reading and especially reading aloud. I didn't learn to even read until I was older than some of the other kids in my class. Don't really know why. I think it was just maybe I was a little bit of a slow learner. But I can remember being in Sunday school even as a teenager, and like our teacher would have us read some verses aloud, and I can remember counting the class members and seeing which verse I would have to read, and I would begin to rehearse reading that verse in my mind because I was really petrified of that. And so, you know, the idea that the Lord takes us right where we are. And you've written a book about how God works through nobodies, and how God calls nobodies into ministry and leadership, and that resonates with me. Not because I'm trying to be self-deprecating or overly self-effacing here, but it's just the reality is that I can remember even growing up at times it wasn't that I necessarily was going to be able to be the strongest athlete on the field, the best reader in a class that perhaps I was taking. But then when the Lord got a hold of my life and I surrendered my life to Christ, and he then would go on to call me into the ministry and give me some opportunity to serve and lead, I fast forward a little bit and then began to wrestle with, for instance, planning a church. It was with tremendous struggle, and I would even say worry, fear, if you will, that I surrendered to that calling. And the Lord really demonstrating his strength through that, seeing how God would put people into my life and I would be able to partner with them. And all along, he was really showing me that, Brian, listen, this isn't about you. You don't have to do this on your own. In fact, you can't do this on your own. You depend on me. I'm going to bring others around you that can serve with you, that can be on a team with you. And so really, I guess I look back and I see how really this concept was already there, but it was actually in the PhD program at Southeastern where I was pressed to read it, study it, and have to articulate it more as a principle and a philosophy. But it was really there throughout probably a number of years. I just hadn't really put words to it.
As you did your Bible study regarding this theme, what did you find about Jesus and his leadership model, particularly related to weakness?
Well, and that at first for me, it was a struggle because, I mean, this is the Lord Jesus we're talking about here, the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ. And it was actually the New Testament and Greek scholar David Black, who I believe taught at Southeastern a number of years. He did a phenomenal word study on the Greek word for weakness. And he said something that really stuck with me. And it's a quotation from his study. He said, "In Christ, human weakness takes on a whole new significance by becoming the place where divine power is revealed," end quote. And when we begin to read and study and just marvel, and there are passages like Philippians 2 that are these great Christological passages, but the idea there, how Jesus took on the weakness of the flesh, how he experienced firsthand the travails of humanity, how he not only humbled himself, but he taught his followers to humble themselves. He modeled depending on the Holy Spirit. He seeks his Father in prayer. He sacrificially served and called upon his followers to not do ministry alone. Reading the Gospels and seeing how Jesus steps out of heaven into the world of humanity through the incarnation, and then looking at how he truly did subject himself to what we experience, yet without sin, yet making mistakes like we would make as human leaders. But he does it by depending upon the Father, by actually demonstrating for us what it means to live a life wholly surrendered to the Father and dependent upon his strength and his power. I would not dare say that I have totally got my head wrapped around that concept, but it is something that definitely has grabbed my attention, just considering what Jesus sacrificed to experience what we have gone through as human beings.
Hmm. Let's bring this down to where our listeners live, many of whom are pastors, some who find themselves in really tough situations right now. You help lead a number of pastors throughout the state of Virginia. You also teach in our doctorate ministry program here at Southeastern, so you get to equip some pastors and other leaders. What does this mean for us practically? How do we live this way? What changes might we need to make in our lives? How do we get here to lead from weakness?
You and I have talked about how this idea of leading from weakness, it's almost right out of the gate, we have an obstacle, and that's the fact that even probably the folks that listen to my friends, you know, myself, we listen to Pastor Matters, we take courses at the seminary, we go to conferences, we read books, we are in the, I guess in a way, you know, we're obviously in the gospel ministry, but if it weren't that, it's like we're essentially in the training business, we're in the equipping business. And so the idea behind that is, you know, we're trying to actually become stronger leaders and to become better leaders. And part of, I think, one of the things we have to use care in is that we do not forget the fact that we are absolutely dependent upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. No matter what we read, no matter how much we learn as Christian leaders, we are absolutely dependent upon Him. And I think one of the advantages to weakness is that weakness helps us to realize that all along God's objective is for us to understand and to surrender to the reality that we desperately need Him. And so I think kind of an occupational hazard is for us to think that, well, we can somehow, you know, figure all of this out. And the reality is we're in the work that is dealing with the with all of the forces of evil against us succeeding. I mean, we have to recognize how absolutely dependent we are upon the Lord and His strength. And I think that then furthermore gets fleshed out in our lives as we understand that God's objective for my life, He calls me into different roles. Jeff Orge, for instance, our mutual friend, has helped me with this. You know, the Lord doesn't really call me into a leadership role because He needs me to do something. He actually wants to take that leadership opportunity and utilize that in my life to help me become more like Christ, to understand that I can depend upon Him, and He wants to grow me and refine me through that. And by His grace, He can use me to in a way that appears that I'm being an effective leader. But in my life, He is absolutely focused on wanting to refine me more into the image of Christ. And so I think practically that means that whatever situation we may face, maybe it's planning a church, maybe it's trying to revitalize a church, maybe it's just maybe it's dealing with a leadership challenge. I mean, you go back and you read, for instance, Moses, the different challenges he faced, the murmuring, the accusations, the doubting of his leadership. I mean, those are all things that we can experience as pastors and as Christian leaders, and recognizing that number one, the Lord wants us to stay in the place where no matter how much experience we have, we absolutely recognize, as Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 15, that we can do nothing without him. And so I think it's holding on to that. And then on kind of more of a horizontal level, if you will, I think us staying engaged with our peers in ministry, us not going at this alone, realizing that we need accountability, that we need that iron sharpened iron. Hopefully we can have some others in our lives that can help remind us that we don't have to do this on our own, that we can depend upon the Lord, and the Lord puts people in our lives that can come around us and encourage us when we recognize that we're not all that we don't have all the strength that leadership challenge may indeed require.
Yeah, I'm convinced that the Lord often puts us in impossible situations that he might be our warrior. And I think, Brian, I would say to pastors listening to us today who find themselves in tough situations that seem to be breaking them, weakening them, I think it's wise for us to say, Lord, what are you teaching me here? And learn even when weakness comes out of pain, learn that God uses our weakness that he might be our strength. It's just a matter of remembering that in those toughest moments. It's one thing for you and I to sit here and talk about this when things are going fairly well. It's another matter to try to remember that when the bottom drops out of our ministry, and yet God is still watching over us, and he is still our strength.
Well, that's why I listen to you share that, I think that's why, first of all, by the way, I am very appreciative of your encouragement in my own life. And I know a lot of others out there that read your blog and read your devotional, really you just sharing your heart from what you're getting out of your daily Bible reading. That's an area that I think we must stay vigilant in, to realize that walk with the Lord day in and day out. You and I talked about that when I stepped into this role, because I was scared. I was nervous. I wasn't sure what would it mean that I wasn't in the ministry of that one particular local church. And you just encouraged me, make sure. And I think Tom Elephant, I know he's been on the podcast several times. I was listening to him share with you all the idea of really spending that time with the Lord, having that devotional walk is huge for us. And then couple that with just, for instance, what I experienced with you guys and the idea of having other friends that can keep pointing us to the Lord, because that kind of helps, you know, put some skin on the body of Christ for us, if you will, when we can actually have someone like we were doing before we started recording. Hey, how's life going? What's going on in your life? And we can help each other with that, because, you know, as leaders, sometimes I think we struggle with the idea of leading for weakness, because we're afraid to be seen as weak. We think we have to sometimes have it all together. Now, I think the caution is, I'm not saying just go out there and, you know, be clueless or be foolish in what you talk about. And I mean, I'm just pointing us to the fact that how much this comes down to simply us walking with the Lord day in and day out, and hopefully having others in our lives that realize that they need the Lord too. It's a subject that wrote an entire dissertation on it, but to me, it really kind of comes back to something that's pretty simple and probably pretty basic. And that is the idea of, you know, the Lord Jesus tells us to have childlike faith. And when I think about my kids, you know, they, it wasn't about them trying to show me that they were stronger, even when they were growing up, even if they tried to wrestle with me or something like that, they knew that they needed me and they needed my strength in their life. And I think for me, I can't ever get away from that, even though now I've been in Christian ministry for several decades.
It's a good word. Brian, thank you for joining us for this episode of Pastor Matters.
Thank you all for having me. Appreciate all that you're doing for pastors and church leaders out there.
And we will have you on again. As a matter of fact, in a week or so, I believe. Listeners, we want to thank you as well for joining us for this episode of Pastor Matters.
If you found this conversation helpful, consider leaving us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear any feedback you'd be willing to give. As always, it's our mission at the Center for Preaching and Pastoral Leadership to equip and encourage pastors. And I hope that we've done that with today's conversation.
And as always, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.